Good morning to all of you. We were very fortunate this week. A lot of us may not realize it, but one of our dearest members was in a could have been in a major car accident that could have really caused some damage to life, our brother Gary. And so I think we should praise God whenever we come through something like that, and there are no serious injuries and no physical damage that would last and destroy and hurt families so much. So praise God for you, Gary, and we pray to him right now that whatever you're, however sore you are and whatever injuries you're feeling, that he makes them fade quickly, and pass into memory, and that he continue to be with you always, in Jesus' name. I also want to pray for our pastor, who's under the weather today. Tammy said that he dearly misses all of you. I want you to know that I dearly miss him right about now. I'm hoping he gets healed so fast I can hear the hallelujah chorus. You know, there's an old joke most of you have heard. It goes a lot like this. There's a guy on top of a roof of a house. The floodwaters are rising. He's going to be drowning. Guy comes along in the canoe and says, let me get you out of here. And he says, no, I trust in God. He's going to save me. And then later on, the jet ski comes, then a helicopter. And he tells them both the same thing. No, I trust in God. He's going to save me. Now, after he drowns, in a disgruntled manner, he approaches the Lord in heaven, and he says, I don't get it. I trusted you. Where were you? You didn't come. The Lord looks at him and says, what are you talking about? I sent a canoe, a jet ski, and a helicopter. Now, this person could not discern what was of God and what was not. And I submit to you that that's a major problem occurring in Christian churches today. Oftentimes, people cannot spiritually discern what is of God and what is of man or the devil. And because of this lack of discernment, they're being taken in by false teaching running rampant throughout the Christian world. Other gospels are springing up like weeds among the corn, and Christians are not recognizing at any other gospel is no gospel at all. 2 Timothy, God tells us, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So today we're going to talk about how to recognize these other gospels, these false teachings. Pastor David Wilkinson tells a story about a minister he knew who became very, very disturbed. This minister stated that he preaches holiness and the crucified life in his church, and from reading about his life, it did seem to have a true shepherd's heart. Then he reported that some of the church members had attended some kind of special seminar, and they had come home ready to leave the congregation. They told him, God has brought us something new. A new revelation that has changed our lives. We thought we were saved, but now we know we weren't. Everything we believed about end times was wrong. We have seen new truth. Pastor, you and your church are in error. Your people aren't even saved. You think you preach holiness, but we've discovered what true holiness is. We've discovered something new. He said that today that same group of people doesn't even attend churches anymore because they can't find anyone to take them deeper. Instead, they feed off some teaching tapes and listen to YouTube videos. This pastor states a problem that we are now hearing from churches all over the nations. What is going on? Why are so many new strange doctrine and so many teachers with new revelations appearing? Sadly, no one seems to be able to discern what is of God and what is of Satan, what is sinful and what is righteous. The result? Christians are becoming confused and led away from the truth of God's holy word. New doctrines, new revelations, new gospels are springing up almost monthly. And it's going to get worse, not better. The Bible makes it clear that in the last days, strange doctrines will come forth, introducing another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. My friends in Christ, the time is no longer coming. The time is here. We are now faced with the long-promised end-time calamity foretold in the Bible about the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul was especially concerned about this when he called together the elders of the church of Ephesus and his final words to those beloved saints in Acts 20. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. The whole time that Paul ministered to the churches he had established, he harbored a concern that would last to his dying day. It was a concern that any true shepherd must have. It was about false teachers coming in to deceive. If Paul were alive today preaching from the pulpit, he would be telling us, beware, the invasion is here. False teachers, false doctrines are bombarding you from all sides. They are trying to introduce to you another Christ. They are not of the Holy Spirit, but of another spirit. And it is not the true gospel. It is the gospel of the enemy. Paul confessed to having this concern 2,000 years ago when in Corinthians he wrote, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by its cunning, your thoughts will also be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Paul knew that the Corinthians were too susceptible to false teachers. He was saying, you are too anxious to hear something new. Now ask yourselves, why? Why does any follower of Jesus Christ need something new? Why are their ears itching for something else? Why are their ears itching at all? Why are they not satisfied with the New Testament of Jesus Christ given to them by God in its perfect splendor? There is nothing new under the sun regarding the teachings of God. It has all been revealed in God's holy word. Why is that not enough for so many who profess faith in Christ? Every so often, a good-hearted Christian will send me a video and say, you've got to hear this, you've got to watch it. It's powerful, incredible, everybody's talking about it. And it usually starts off sounding pretty good. And as I listen to it, now, this is not all of them, but unfortunately, it's a vast majority of the ones that I receive, and I get a lot. After a while, the Spirit starts churning inside of me. And as it goes on, suddenly, there it is. Error. A twisting of the Word of God to something from the mind of man. Unscriptural interpretation. Fanciful dreams. Somebody's own ideas, as if a new mystery is finally being unlocked after 2,000 years. But it does not line up with the Word of God. The Apostle Paul was amazed by how easily the Galatians that he had turned to Christ were swayed from the truth when in chapter 1 he said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who troubled you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. Doesn't matter if an angel appears and tells you it's a message from God. Doesn't matter if you and your friends discern it's all right. The Bible makes it plain. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it is of Satan and it is accursed. Have nothing to do with it. And if you're struggling with the word accursed, we'll make it simple. It's the opposite of salvation. Now, how should we know when the gospel is true and what is accursed? Let's first start off by saying that even the most demonic false teachers tend to begin with warnings of false doctrine. They loudly and strongly warn against getting caught up in something not Christ-like. Nearly every false teacher sounds off the loudest about false doctrine and then goes on to preach what is false. They usually start off with a lot of truth and then start inserting half-truths and small distortions. And they spend a lot of time persuading their hearers that they are not the false teachers. Yet they're setting them up to hear their own false message. Doctrine is not simply right because teacher appears to be holy, good, sincere, and pious. Throughout church history, the most damaging heresies have been taught by men who were considered good and sincere. And that's what makes false teachers all the more dangerous. Many a Christian has said, but he was such a good man, so pious, so loving, so sincere. What happened? Of course, a Christ-centered teacher will be holy, sober, and sincere, but the devil's minions are going to appear that way as well. They will come as messengers of righteousness and truth and revelation, but in reality, they are demons of deception, whose sole purpose is to corrupt the heart of the listener towards a false and distorted gospel. And just to be clear, not all false teachers know that they are false teachers. Nor do they all have the intention to deceive and lead astray. In fact, more and more heretics are rising up among Christians within the church, truly and honestly believing that what they believe, teach, and spread is accurate. But it isn't. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. Often this results from elevating something above the Word. They elevate some other teacher, a resource, or an experience, or their own pride above the Holy Word of God. They have a verse or two that they've pulled out of context to support their claims and their teachings, but it's distorted. It's misunderstood. They, too, are deceived. As we reviewed earlier, Paul said in 2 Corinthians that Satan tries to deceive us just as he deceived Eve in the garden. He uses the same craftiness, the same deception. Nothing has changed since then. The false gospel that Satan introduced to Eve is the same gospel he promotes today. And all these false gospels have some common traits. Number one. Any teaching that undermines a reverential respect and fear of God is accursed and of the devil. Any teaching that undermines reverential respect and fear of God is accursed and of the devil. All false teachers have this message in common. Relax. God can't be that hard. He won't hurt you. He loves you. And loving God wants you to enjoy life. The enemy's trick is to move you away from an awesome reverence and fear of a holy God who judges sin. It is always false doctrine if it tries to undermine the reverential fear of God in you or downplay the seriousness of sin. False teachers lead us to overemphasize the grace and love of God at the expense of the holiness of God. What was the one command that God gave to Adam and Eve in the garden? It's stated this way in Genesis. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you surely shall die. But Satan came with a false message. You surely shall not die. Now this was a total perversion of the truth. Another gospel, yet it is what Adam and Eve wanted to hear. And it's often what we want to hear, too. You see, something inside of us resists God's commandments. The Lord's restrictions seem too much of a yoke for Adam and Eve, and they chafed under it. Satan knew this, and he began to undermine the fear of God in Eve by saying, did God really say that to you? God is not like that. Eat this, and your eyes will be open. You'll understand good and evil. You will surely not die. And we have all been suffering under that original sin ever since. Let's be honest here today before our God. We would have made the same choices. Truth is, we're not much different than Adam and Eve. We're all sinful in ourselves and weak. Now there's a teaching among some New Age movements about a New Age liberty. It says, come and sing and shout and speak in tongues and go out and live like the devil. Well, that isn't freedom. It's Satan saying, you shall not die. God is not hard. He's too loving and too merciful. Satan found the gospel that suited the lust of Eve's flesh, and he'll find the one to suit the itching ears of all restless Christians. But again, I ask, why are we restless? Why are so many Christians not satisfied, looking for something new, instead of just resting in the arms of Jesus and the Word of God? You see, the true gospel is not about new spiritual ideas, new ways, or new revelations. It always was and is, will be simply about Jesus. The purest life is one that lives for, relies on, and worships our Lord and Savior with a devotion that comes from a heart filled with love. We need nothing new under the sun. We have Christ. Family, if you ever hear the word new concerning the things of God, you need those antennas to go up. Train yourself to have this almost unconscious response, and then take it to the Word. Verify it. So beware of any message that breaks the conviction for sin or that produces a spirit of non-vigilant that eases you back softly and whispers regarding your sins, all is well. All such tranquilizers are false gospels. Number two, beware of any gospel that diverts you from a single-minded devotion to Jesus and his teaching. It's always about Jesus. From the first verse in Genesis to the last verse in Revelation, it all points to Genesis. From the beginning of creation to the final conquest in the New Jerusalem, it's all centered on Jesus. Any teaching that takes us away from a single-minded devotion to the glory that is Jesus or focuses us in any way on man or things of the world is a false gospel. God warned us through the Apostle Paul that Satan will transform himself into an angel of light, that he will raise up his own false teachers, all of them posing as ministers of righteousness. Satan will come using the lovely name of Jesus and work through those false teachers to deceive and undermine the Christian world. And it's happening today. We are told in several places of Scripture that much of Christianity will fall victim to this horrible fate. Why? Because they will lose their focus on Jesus and instead become victims of their own lusts. Yes, lusts. And it's not just sexual lust that I'm referring to. It is lust for anything of this world that draws you away from God, His Son, and from the obedience to God that we are taught in Scripture. Lust is the magnet of this world. It is embedded in our sinful flesh, and it is Satan's primary weapon to draw people to false apostles. It comes from a failure to commit oneself to Jesus as the central point of one's life. I can promise you that if you hang on to your lust, you'll come under false doctrine. It's inevitable. You'll find it, and it will find you. And you'll be so blind, you won't even know it. It's a major danger signal in anyone's life if they've lost their devotion to Christ when things of the world start to take precedence over their relationship with God. Now, this can come in many forms. I read a very sad one not too long ago about a seminary called Union Theological Seminary. It was founded in 1836 by the Presbyterians, who up until about 30 years ago, were some of the more orthodox of the Christian denominations. Unfortunately, no longer. Union Theological Seminary has now joined so many others in Christianity who have lost that single-minded devotion to Christ and replaced the Word of God with things of this world. Now, parents of these students who pay a lot of money to send them to this seminary expect them to be trained as the future leaders in the Christian kingdom on this world. But instead, these students are being taught to sit and kneel on the floor and confess their sins to potted plants. I thought this was a crazy article when I first read it, so I did more research. It's not a crazy article. Said the students, today in chapel we confessed to plants. Together we held our grief, joy, regret, hope, guilt, sorrow, and prayer, offering them to the beings who sustain us, but whose gift we too often fail to honor. The seminary defends the confession, saying, retreating plants as fully created beings, divine creation in its own right, not just something to be consumed. Just because plants aren't capable of verbal response, does that mean we should not engage with them? Well, the obvious answer to anyone who's committed themselves to Christ and the Word of God is, no, you shouldn't be engaging spiritually with plants. And frankly, it's pathetic in the extreme that anyone should have to explain this to you, and certainly not to a seminary. Any Christian that knows their Bible can easily rebuke this. It is a worship of the creation instead of the Creator. Yet the Union Theological Seminary claims that Christian tradition is wrong and its bizarre ritual is right. And they're teaching this. They said, we need to unlearn the habits of sin and death, they argued, and part of that work must be building new bridges to the natural world. Theologies that encourage humans to dominate and master the earth have played a deplorable role in degrading God's creation. We must birth new theology, new liturgy to heal and sow and replace the ones that reap and destroy. In other words, the seminary calls Christian theology destructive and deplorable. Shortly after creating human beings, God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and dominate over everything under the heavens. Is the Bible itself now deplorable and degrading and destructive? Of course not. In reading the entire article, I was dumbfounded by the lack of reverential respect for God and His holy word. And where was the single-minded devotion to Christ? How devoted can anyone be when they insist that their spiritual relationship must be the way they demand it instead of the way God teaches it? When they turn from God to plants, or for that matter, anything else in this world, plug in anything else. In Luke's gospel, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, we all have our crosses to bear, every single person in this church. Some struggle with gossip, others with envy or pride or anger or a variety of sexual tendencies. We all have our crosses to bear. But Jesus says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up that cross daily, and follow him. Not please thyself, ignore my teaching, and create your own theology. Committed disciples have a single-minded devotion to Jesus and God's teaching. They submit themselves 100% to what God says and not what they want God to say. There's a big difference there. So to recap point number two, any teaching that leads you away from a single-minded devotion to Jesus and what is taught in the Holy Word of God, beware, beware. Third point. There can be no devotion to Christ without a walk of holiness that begins in the heart. All doctrine must be judged by an answer to this question. Does it conform you to the likeness of Christ? You can't just call a gospel pure and simply because the teacher preaches against sin. New Age movement speaks much of the Christ spirit. Reprobate preachers scream the name of Jesus and thundering against homosexuality, drugs, sins of society, etc. Such preachers play to the crowd. They whip up enthusiasm. But often there's no real conviction. There's no consuming desire in the message to conform people to the image of Christ. There's one sure test of true holiness in preaching, and it's found in 2 Timothy, number 2. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now let me be clear. God does not mean that he expects his people to be sinless. Better than anyone else, he understands our weaknesses and the power of sin that still dwells in our flesh. What he does not understand and will not tolerate are those who refuse to follow him and submit themselves to his will, which is to be holy, for he is holy. Those rebellious Christians who insist that their relationship with God be on their terms and who will not repent as God has commanded them to repent. Thus they have no walk of holiness before God. Where does such rebellion come from in those who claim to be God's children? It finds its origin in the heart. Well, we can always point to man's own pride and arrogance as leading causes. Never forget that the devil is always working to destroy a heart that has been turned to God. He is the great enemy described in Ephesians when it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, or against rulers, or authorities, or the cosmic powers, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Because we are not focused on Christ, the spiritual forces of evil are undermining the walk of holiness in the hearts of millions. Millions of people who today claim Christ as their Lord. Friends, we need to fight the real enemy here. And that enemy is the devil, working to pollute our hearts and our churches. I'm not going to argue over prophecy with anyone. I want to stand with any brother or sister who walks in fear of God and whose heart is open to a pure devotion to Jesus Christ and what he says and not what man says. That is how we fight the devil. We must get our eyes off of teachers and evangelists and YouTube and draw close to the Word of God. Has anyone here ever developed a really great relationship with someone without spending time with them? Of course not. If your relationship with God and your devotion to Christ is an important part of your life, then I encourage you to spend that time daily, individually and together as a family with God and God's holy word. And as you feed on that spiritual milk and that spiritual food, he's going to help you with your walk of holiness before him. That's how it works. Draw close to him, and he draws close to you. Remember the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7? They're watching Jesus sitting around the campfire with his apostles, and they were just kind of eating. They hadn't washed their hands or anything, and you know they were. And the Pharisees were just all upset. They were unclean. They hadn't followed the tradition of washing their hands. And they went to Jesus and said, what happened? Your disciples haven't even washed their hands. They found fault with this. Jesus says, there was only a ceremonial tradition. It was all outward, having nothing to do with the acts of the flesh. Jesus responded and told them, your teaching is all in vain. It hasn't changed their heart. It's all show, words, and phony deeds. It's a gospel that gives nothing but lip service and does not deal with the heart. Don't waste time with it. True doctrine has to get to the issues of the heart. Jesus exposed the problem with all false gospels. They do not reach what defiles the man. They do not convict or change the heart. They offer a form of godliness with no change of heart. Don't tell me about the miracles in your church or how many people speak in tongues or how well the pastor preaches. Tell me about a people who call on God out of a pure heart. Tell me that though they have not yet arrived at a pure heart, they are at least being provoked in that direction through godly preaching to expose their sinful attitudes. That's the gospel of Jesus. It's a gospel that convicts the heart, deals with heart issues, and assists the heart to grow in the Spirit of God. I believe that this is the gospel that is preached in this church today. But I worry. Is this the gospel you're listening to on YouTube or reading about in books and newsletters? Do they convict you of those inner hidden sins, these things you're reading? Or are they just trying to get you to appear holy through worthless human works, to wash your hands for the public to see? Beware, the internet is now filled with false prophets and spiritual con men. A great war is upon us, and Satan is using every communication possible to deceive the elect of God with other gospels that are no gospels at all. Any other gospel is distorted when it does not match what God has given to us, and it is no gospel at all. If you do not wish to be deceived by all of Satan's other gospels that are being presented today, remember these three points when you're considering things in your life. First, any teaching that undermines the reverential respect and fear of God is accursed and of the devil. Secondly, beware of any gospel that diverts you from a single-minded devotion to Jesus and his teaching. Third, there can be no devotion to Christ without a walk of holiness that begins in the heart. May God add his wisdom and understanding to our hearts and minds and continue to conform us to the image of his Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.